The Layup Line.
Welcome to The Layup Line. It is Tuesday evening. What's the date, Seth? The 16th, December 16th. Yep. And I am joined by my good friend, Seth. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. I feel like it's been a little bit since we've done this because of the
It's been a long time. Like, I don't think we've talked to Cavs on the phone in, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. There's been a lot of texting, a lot of different emotions, but we haven't talked about it.
I wake up to, like, every time the Cavs are playing, first of all, I'm old, and with Nola, like, she gets up at, like, 7 a.m. sometimes, so sometimes I'll go to bed at, like, 10 p.m. and just tape the rest of the game, and I always wake up to, like, 3 or 4 texts from you that are, like, you ranting, and then the last one's like, okay, I'm done, and I just laugh, and then I have to check what happened and watch and decide if I want to watch the game or not.
I lose my mind.
I was up in Cleveland last night for the Cleveland State Mount Vernon game. The MVNU got to go play up at Cleveland State. They lost by 50, so it wasn't their strongest outing of the year. Mm-mm. But they had a dude. Cleveland State had a guard. He was like playing the other player of the year. Then he went to Penn State, and then he transferred to Cleveland State. I think his name was Trey Jones or something. He was 9 for 11 from three, and he had like 32, and he was just hitting like pull ups in kids' eyes. It was nasty.
Yeah, he's like their second coming of Norris Cole.
It may be. There's a huge banner of Norris Cole when you walk into the Wolfstein Center that says world champion played here, and it's Norris Cole, which That's is kind of awesome. Cool.
Dude, I like Norris Cole. I've always liked Norris
Cole. I do, too. I was excited when they drafted him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what my favorite Norris Cole play ever is?
What's that?
When he's standing on the sideline when Ray Allen hit that three in game six, and Norris Cole is just jumping like 6 feet off the ground. Yeah. Have you ever seen that clip?
Yeah, I've seen that clip. Yeah.
It's just, you see this little tiny dude just jumping absurdly high. and you look like, dang, that's Norris Cole. He's 5 feet off the ground. But he said he had a direct view of the ball, and he's like, as soon as it left Ray's hand, I knew it was good. That's why I would jump so high.
Yeah. Dude, you know why I liked him too? We won't talk about Norris Cole, but dude, he can lock down too. So I like that.
I like good defenders. He plays pretty good D. We could use him on the Cavs.
Yeah, he could come in and lock down for sure.
We're not very good at defense right now, are we?
No. Honestly, like, some nights I think, oh, yeah, you know, we got it. We got it together. Like, our rotations look good and stuff. And then other nights it's just like we get scored on at will in the paint. You know, and it always seems like, and I think every time I talk to you about this, it always seems like some, I don't want to say scrub, but some no name that we don't know that much about, you've heard his name, like, will go off on the Cavs for 35. You're like, every time we play someone.
Would you be referencing someone like Ryan Anderson or something?
Exactly. And now we know his name a little bit because he tore the Cavs up when he was with Orlando back in the day.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he'll just, like, bomb, you know. He got, like, his career record for threes against us. Just because, like, that always happens against us. Just like Lou Williams went off on us. He's a good scorer. He's a good NBA player. But he shouldn't be getting, like, what he got on us both times, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, our defense has been a little suspect. I texted you the other night and I just said, there's no way that this team could beat one of the top five teams in the West in a seven-game series.
No, not yet. Not
because
for
our defense isn't there.
Our defense isn't there, and I know we went on that win streak, but we just look inconsistent. Like, didn't you? I kept on telling you, which usually I feel like I can like be right on these things, but you're like, dude, if we lose to the Pelicans with no Anthony Davis, I was like, oh, we're gonna lock down, because like that's how we've been. Like, we let like bad teams in the games, then we can lock down and you know, pull it out because we have great offensive players. But you saw what happened. It doesn't always happen, and if we don't play any defense, like, we can get beat by bad teams. Not that the Pelicans are bad, they're like in the 8th spot I know in the West right now, but they didn't have Anthony Davis that night. So
dude, what would happen if we played the Warriors in a 7-game series? How much they would average? 135.
Yeah, it would be bad, man. It would be bad. Like, we would have no answer for the Splash Brothers. They would just go off. Because our perimeter, like, what would happen is LeBron would have to, like, guard Stephen Curry, and then Klay Thompson would be like, thank you very much, I'll go for 40.
I can't figure out why our defense is so, like, because we've shown it. Like, Yeah. We've had games where, like, I'm like, wow, that almost looks like the Heat, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that – and here's the thing, like, with the Bulls, and they've had the D. Rose injury, although he's played, like, 10 games in a row, which is kind of good for him, you know?
Yeah.
But with the Heat and stuff, like, their calling card was – like, yeah, they could score and they ran and stuff, but – I mean, when it came down to it, those first 2-3 years, their defense was absurd.
Yeah.
I mean, they just flew to the ball. And so even though when they were going through those struggles and stuff like that, like, they figured their defense out pretty quick. And yeah. And that's what they brought to the table, you know, against the Thunder and then the Spurs the first time was like, hey, they could lock up. Like, they just locked up. Mm-hmm. And right now we've done it a couple times, but it just doesn't look like we have the ability to lock up. And that no. I think that's worrisome.
It's worrisome, and, you know, we'll always debate, like, you and I have been having debates, and I don't want to, like, see, like, the future or anything, but sometimes, I mean, I notice LeBron taking some breaks on defense, and I get it, because he's tired, man. Like, he has to do a lot for the Cavs right now to get them to be in sync, and you see him take plays off, or, like, he does his classic, you know, I've been watching LeBron forever, but he'll just, like, he'll be out of the play, he'll miss, so he'll just take off down the court hoping that there's, like, a rebound or something, and, like, I think he, when the time comes, he will lock down all the time. Like, obviously in the playoffs, but, like, right now, like, we got that 8-game win streak. We felt really good. We felt invincible for a second. And then we realized we were doing that because we were doing the right things defensively. We stopped for one game, and then we got owned, so.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, when LeBron was – his last year in Miami, I think he was worn down because of everything he had to do for that team. But yeah. Those first 3 years in Miami – I'd never seen a defensive player, like, do everything that he had to do in a game. He would legitimately guard 1 through 5 every yeah. night. And, like, he was the best defender on the court. I mean, he should have been player, like, defensive player of the year. Like, that's how valuable he was to that team. And
oh, absolutely.
I don't think you can do that as a, you know, as a 30, like, as you get older. Like, you can't do that yeah. and be expected to score 28 and dish out 10 yeah. a night. Like, you just can't.
I want him to facilitate the offense and play some good D, but he doesn't have to be a perennial defender right now. I just want him to make our machine go. And you know what? Like, crank it up in the NBA, you know, playoffs. But right now, like, yeah, he doesn't need to be. Yeah, the Heat wore him out, man. He did everything for them for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he did everything for them. Yeah. And I don't think we can ask him to – I don't think that's fair to ask him to do that because I don't even think that was fair the last year with the Heat. Like, he was struggling doing that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Like, obviously, we know the homecoming story, but, like, he probably was getting sick of that stuff, man. He was carrying the whole team on his back. And it's hilarious to say that because they had Wade and Bosch, but, like, dude, we watched. Like, they would go as he went. You know what I mean? When he played well, they would play well. Like, that's how it was. That's how it's been his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, I don't know, I do think that the Heat, like, I think Bosch was underrated a little bit as a defender, his ability to cover, and, I mean, I would take Kevin Love over Chris Bosch, but I do think, like, just defensively,
yeah.
Chris Bosch was a much more versatile defender, so I think, yeah. I just think the Cavs are trying to figure out, like, what type of defensive team they're going to be, and I don't think they're going to be the Heat where they swarmed everything and they were just so long and fast. Like, I don't think we have that in our DNA.
Yeah.
But I do think we have the ability to just be a strong defensive team that you just keep the guy in front of you, like, the guy with the ball in front of you, it's your job just to keep him out of lane. And I yeah. think that's an option that we have mm-hmm. because I don't think it's in our option to play like the Heat played with that just swarming defense. I do think, and we've talked about it so many times, like, We're a defender away, I think, of yeah. really being a threat to win the NBA title. Like, I just don't think we have enough of a backline presence to really win.
Yeah, and I read the rumors every day, and, like, we kind of know. Like, I mean, I don't know how we're going to get different assets, but, like, I know that Deion could be part of that trade to get somebody. But I think that I could see us trading for two players. I could see us trading for, a wing, like, just a lockdown defender on the wing, and then, like, obviously we always have talked about, you know, we need somebody to protect the rim, so.
Would you keep Deion at this point? How do you think he's doing?
If you can remember, before that streak started, I was like, he's got to be out, he's horrible, and then he started balling, you know what I mean? He's, like, he's just so erratic, man. Like, he's one of those players, I put him in the same category as like a Nate Robinson or a J.R. Smith. Like, you get like lightning from them some nights, and then other times it's just like, what are they doing? You know?
Yeah. No, he's so frustrating because there's games that he's out there and you're like, oh yeah, like that's why he was a top 10 pick. And then there's the next week you don't even see him like do anything, and you're just like, who is he? Like, which Deion are you? And the truth is, I think he's a mixture. Like, I don't think that you can count on him. I don't think that you can count on him to give you 3 points a game. Like, that's who he is. But I don't think you can count on him for 20 a night either. Like, he's just somewhere in between. I don't know, man. Like, if there was a spot for him, if there was a good trade for us to pick up someone on the front line or whatever that would really help us and he needed to be a part of it, I wouldn't have a problem letting him go.
You know what?
I wouldn't lose sleep over that.
There was a play that happened the other night, and I know, like, we put in Deion to get buckets, but, like, and it's happened a couple times, but it's starting to make me mad. LeBron got a steal. He passed to Deion that was, like, leading the break, and LeBron, like, pointed for the lob, and, like, Deion takes it in himself. I'm just like, man. Those kind of things just make me upset. I'm like, you know, LeBron would always throw a lob up, you know, like, that's what you do. You reward somebody. And Deion, to me, like, it's good that he thinks of himself first. Like, he needs to be, like, a scorer, but, like, at the same time, right there to me, like, just shows, like, he's a me first kind of guy, no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm reading this book. It's by Bill Simmons. It's called The Book of Basketball. It's a pretty cool book. But there's one chapter in it, and it's called The Secret. And it's about when he met Isaiah Thomas for the first time. And he asked him, because Isaiah Thomas had said something about a secret before. And so he's like, well, what's the big secret about basketball? And he said, the secret is, this is Isaiah Thomas said, that it's not about basketball. It's about team and personality. And I couldn't agree with that more. Like, if you look at teams, and even the teams I've been on, like in college, like our best years were not our most talented. It was when you had the best camaraderie and the best teamwork, and you just genuinely enjoyed being with each other. Yeah. And I think that if you actually would look at, from a GM's perspective, putting together the Cavs, and rather than just be like, hey, who are the best basketball players? If you would look at that and be like, hey, what is the best way to make this team cohesive, get along, like secret wise, like let's make this not just about basketball, but just about people. I think Deion's out.
Yeah.
Like, I just think he is. Like, he just doesn't have a good attitude. Like, I think someone like Mike Miller is in 100% of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we've seen it, man. Over the last however many seasons, I'm sorry, you have to play team selfless basketball to win. It's always the case. You know, even
the Spurs. Like, look at the Spurs. Yeah. Like, that's been, even the Heat. Like,
they were playing.
Those guys
ball.
Were so unselfish. Like, the Heat and the Spurs. Like, that's been the template. And before that was the Mavericks. I mean, this whole, like, there's been a shift in the NBA from like this hero Kobe Bryant ball to, like, you legitimately have to have 2-3 All Stars and you got to be great teammates. And like, that has been the last 6 championships have all been that.
Yeah.
Or I think. I mean, even with Kobe on the Lakers the year that they won it, they beat the Celts, like, they had a solid team. Like, they were a pretty cohesive unit. But if you look at the Celtics, big three, then that L.A. team, and then the Heat, or the Mavs and the Heat, and the San Antonio Spurs, like, it's a blueprint. Like, this is a unit of people we're putting together, and they're genuinely going to enjoy being together. And when that happens, it's special.
Yeah, and that's what LeBron understands, and as a fan that wants him to do very well, like, I'll text you his stat line every night because I just want him to do well in Cleveland. I love it, but he understands that it's going to be a team because that's what they did in Miami and they won it as a team.
Yeah.
And we have these young guys that are trying to prove themselves, and he's like, no, we're trying to shake some habits here. And by the way,
how do you think LeBron? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and by the way, you might have been going to this anyway, but. You know how I was freaking out at the beginning of the season. I checked the top leaders in the NBA. Right now, LeBron is in. I think he's like third in scoring, and he's like in the top 5 in assists. So I'm not worried at all anymore.
I think he's looked great. Yeah. How do you like? All right. So you and I have had like our debates about this, and I've said it on this thing. And I think we finally came. You finally gave me an agreement here, and this is what we agreed on because I've been saying that, like, at 20 years old, you're. And then 100% of your athleticism. At 40, you're done. Like, you can't play in the NBA anymore. Okay?
Yeah.
So somewhere, like, just the linear line between 20 and 40 is, like, down is a down slope, and it runs through 30, obviously, is a down slope. So yeah. It's not a like a rocket science, but just like a, hey, LeBron's 30, he's going towards 40. Like, he's not as athletic as he was when he's 20. Like, not really. I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's been noticeable. However, I think that he's still – I think he's shown in the last couple weeks that he's still pretty darn athletic.
Yeah. No,
like,
don't
even,
you –
like, it's been weird. Like, even the game – like, when I was watching the game against the Pelicans, like, he looked like he was 25 again. Like, he was bouncing around, like, with the ball, like, dribbling weird. And, like, he just had that swag to him that was, like, LeBron 24 years old. Yeah. And I think he still has that in him. What I think, though, is, like, when you get older, those nights don't come every night. Like, I think as you get older, you have nights where you're just like, man, I don't feel great tonight. And then two nights later, you might be like, hey, I feel like I'm 25 again. Exactly. I think that's just kind of what it is. But when you're like 20, you just feel like that every game.
No, I completely agree. I agree with that. Like, and I can attest to that because, you know, close to LeBron's age. So, like, obviously, like, you feel that way some nights and you feel like that. You saw him against Brooklyn Nets and he was playing in front of Jay-Z and them. He was just bouncing around in the second half. And he was just like, and I was like, all right, that's what I'm used to. And then other nights he wants to defer. That's kind of in his personality, too, to get everybody involved. But I'll be on the same page with you. I think he has nights where he is the LeBron we remember from 5 years ago, and then he has other nights where you're just like, how didn't he finish that around the rim? And then you think about it, okay, well, he's 30, he's playing almost 40 minutes a game. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And you know what? Maybe he's just tired. You know, maybe his body just is tired right now. But I will say, remember how I told you that thing about how he probably can do? Like, there was all those reports how he didn't do as much as conditioning just to give his body a rest.
Yeah.
You see him getting to more and more basketball shape and getting his legs.
He's getting in better shape. He is. Yeah. I agree with 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I remember in college, like, my freshman year, I, like, didn't even stretch. Like, I would just show up. I wouldn't stretch. And I could just – like, literally, I could just dunk, like, every night. And it was just, like, I was just there. I was an 18-year-old athlete, and this was just me. By the time I had put on, like, 4.5 years of college wear on me – dude, there were games my senior year when I would show up and I'd be in the athletic room, like the training room, for 30, 40 minutes, just like begging my body to get loose, and it just wouldn't happen. And I was like 23, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, and there were nights that I'd go out there and I'd feel like I was 15 again, and then there were nights where I felt like I was 35.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I think that's kind of where he's at. Did you see Windhorst throughout that column that you and I had kind of been discussing for 2 months?
Man. I got, I actually tweeted him some crazy stuff. I kind of feel bad about it.
You went at him on Twitter? Yeah.
I just was like, you know, I like Brian Windhorst a lot, but I was like, man, I was like, LeBron made your career. How could you stab him in the back?
I don't think he stabbed him.
No,
he went on
WKNR the next day and, like, explained that he was like ESPN begged him to write that story and stuff. Like, he had to, but yeah.
Well, I don't think he stabbed him. Like, I wouldn't say that. When I go on here and talk about him, that at 7 in the back, I think I'm just, like, saying, like, hey, LeBron, you're a little bit older.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron's admitted that. Like, yeah, like, I'm adapting a little bit.
Yeah. No, he said that
the other
day.
I personally love the way he's adapting. Like, I think he's looked great. Yeah. Like, I think, I mean, he's averaging 8 assists a game. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, exactly. He's almost at, like, 26 points. Like, he's fine. Like, I'll take him at, like, you know, dropping his points by, like, one or two around 25 if he's going to get, like, 7 or 8 assists a game. And, you know, still, he doesn't have to get as many rebounds anymore because Kevin Love's a rebounding machine. You know, where Bosch...
He gets everything.
Bosch would get 7 rebounds a game, so LeBron had to get 7 or 8. And now he has Anderson, Barajal, Tristan Thompson, and Kevin Love who, like... Even though I think we need better, like, perimeter... in the lane defending, they all can grab boards, so...
They get every rebound. Like, those three get every rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, Seth, let's just take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about – I just want to talk about what the Cavs are kind of doing with Kyrie and LeBron, moving Kyrie off the ball and then LeBron on. And then I want to touch on a little bit on Michael Jordan because I think that they've been doing some crazy stuff on ESPN about Kobe, and it's kind of been pissing me off. And so I have some statistics that I just want to share with the audience. So all let's right. take a break, and then we'll be back here in just a second. All
Sounds
right?
good, man. All right.
Welcome back to the Layup Line. Thanks for sticking with us tonight. Okay, Seth. Interesting to see the last week or so. I think the Cavs are finally doing what you and I said that they should have done from, like, the third game on. And they're moving Kyrie off the ball and LeBron to the one. And I just think that this has been such a no-brainer for me. It's a little surprising it took like 25 games for them to do this, but I don't know. Do you agree that this is kind of the way that we got to go?
Yeah, LeBron needs to be, just like he has with every team he's been on, for the team and himself to be most effective, he has to be the facilitator of the offense.
I think so, too. I've said all along, like, I love Kyrie. Like, I really, really, like, if you talk straight up point guard trades in the NBA, there's not a single guy that I would immediately trade him for. There's a few that I'd have a conversation about, like maybe Curry and Westbrook and stuff. But, I mean, he's in that level now where, like, I really like him. But I do really think that he is a scorer. And so I'm excited for him because just because you bring the ball up, like, Kyrie doesn't have to bring the ball up just to have the ball in his hands. Like, I think LeBron's shown that he can get him the rock, and Kyrie can still dribble. Like, he can still go at guys off the ball. It's just a little different feel for him. But, dude, I think he's handled it incredibly well. Like, I love how Kyrie's playing.
Yeah, no, he's done a really good job. And I think it actually took a little bit of pressure off of him because he didn't really have – I think he didn't know what his role was really going to be. Like, LeBron in the preseason was like, yeah, Kyrie's the point guard, and obviously – you saw how that it was miserable watching all that the first few games. Now he can do it. He can play point guard, but it just is better with him and LeBron out there, like kind of sharing the ball handling duties. But at the end of the day, like the ball's in LeBron's hand when it's like time to like you make a play, you know, like he's going to decide. And then, but the best part about Kyrie is he can go like ISO and he can just do whatever he wants at any time. So,
well, yeah, I mean, so like, think about what he, like the situation that he found himself in last year. He's the best player on a terrible team, always has the ball in his hands. Basically, I would even say that he over-dribbled a lot last year, but some of that was just there was nothing around him. Yeah. So he's just kind of always had the ball in his hand. That was his job. And now all of a sudden the best player in the world and maybe the first or second best power forward in the world show up on your team. Yeah. And it's like, what do I do now? Like, because before all he did was basically dribble the ball up and shoot it. And now it's like there's this process of finding out, like, well, what am I supposed to do with the ball? And I really like taking it out of his hands. And that way you make it simpler for Kyrie where it says, hey, Kyrie, when you get the ball, like, you're going to go score. Like, that's your job.
Yeah.
And I think I really like that they're doing that. I think he's done an awesome job kind of adapting. I think LeBron's played special, and it's helped. I think it's helped Kevin Love out because, you know, I think before Kyrie was always kind of like, do I shoot? Or pass to LeBron, or, oh, yeah, there's Kevin in the corner. Now I think LeBron's kind of like, hey, I'm going to get guys involved, and Kevin Love's more involved, like, right away. And I think that way when Kyrie gets the ball, he has the freedom of, like, hey, I'm going to go score. Like, that's what I do.
No, and it's been fun because, you know, now LeBron's up to the expectation now. Like, he's pretty much special every night. Like, he always will give you something. But, like, it's kind of like either night you're going to get, you know, 25 plus from Kevin Love, and if he doesn't do it, Kyrie's going to do that. So it's been fun just to see how it all pans out, and it's worked out really well. I feel like they all, like you just said, like they all have a much more defined role now, and it's you can tell it that Kyrie and Kevin are playing a ton better.
I think what you said there was exactly spot on. Like, they have defined roles now, and I think that David Blatt's done a better job kind of defining the roles of some of the guys off the bench. And I know Miller has a concussion, but he should be back. But I think him and Jones finally have found their role. And I just think that I think on the offensive end, they're starting to find some unity and trying to they figured out a little bit how to play together. I think defensively, we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, I really like Sean Marion as a defender and just as like a role player. I mean, like we talked about, he shouldn't be bombing threes.
You can't let him shoot. Every time he shoots, I just want to throw something at the TV.
Yeah, now he's made a few this year because LeBron gets him so open, like it's impossible. But like, I mean, I really like his role. I think he's been like a good veteran. And then we were kind of harping on Matthew Dellavedova, but he's been great lately too. So
hey, you know, I owe my friend Smitty an apology. I made fun of him when he said that we missed Dellavedova, and I thought that was a joke. Dude, we actually did. Like, he's got a role on this team, and he's a legitimate basketball player. And so I apologize to him. I apologize to you, Smitty, and to Matthew Dellavedova for disrespecting your skills. You're better than I thought. Hey, can we talk about Michael Jordan for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, did you see what Kobe did this week? Like, as far as his total points.
Yeah, I saw.
So he
that.
He passed Michael Jordan, and
yeah,
and so ESPN decided that they were going to turn
for
this
the last
week
2 weeks. Sorry, go ahead.
No, the last 2 weeks. It's like, hey, who's better, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant? And like. And the problem is there's all these young kids that have never seen Michael Jordan play except maybe for the Wizards, and so they're like, "Oh, Kobe's probably better, right?" Mm-hmm. Can I read some? Can I just share some stats that I wrote down?
Yeah, please.
All right. By the way, Kobe was 8 for 26 last night with 21 points. Not a bad night.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just say, I don't hate Kobe Bryant. Like, I really don't. Like you and I are LeBron guys, but we don't hate Kobe. I think I understand Kobe for what he is, okay?
Yeah, there were times in my life where I did, but now I respect him for sure.
Yeah, I respect him. Let me just start by saying this. As far as the closest thing to Michael Jordan that we've seen and maybe ever will see, mm-hmm. scoring-wise and mentality-wise, it's probably Kobe Bryant, okay? Yeah. I get that. Like, he's a special talent. I think we're going to miss him when he's gone. I enjoy the Mamba. Like, it's funny. Like, he's entertaining, and his confidence is, like, it's fun to watch, okay?
Yeah.
So I appreciate him for what he is. I think he's the second greatest shooting guard ever. If I had all the shooting guards in the history of the NBA lined up, he would be my number two pick, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't think Kobe Bryant is trash by any means. Like, I respect him. But there comes a point when, as a true basketball purist and a Michael Jordan fan, that you see all this stuff go on, that I just have to say enough. Like, Seth, enough, okay? Let me give you – this might take, like, 2 minutes, but I have some serious statistics to read, okay?
Okay.
All right. Kobe Bryant, 5 NBA titles, 5-2 in the NBA Finals, 2 Finals MVPs, 1 regular season MVP, 2 scoring titles, 25 times over 50 points in his career. Pretty good line. Like,
yeah.
You read that, you're like, that's a Hall of Famer. That's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay. Let me read you a little bit of Michael Jordan here. 6 NBA titles, 6-0 in NBA Finals, 6 final MVPs, 5 regular season MVPs, 10 scoring titles, 39 times over 50 points.
Yeah.
It's not even close. Like,
no.
Kobe has 5 titles and 2 finals MVPs. MJ has 6-6. MJ has 4 more MVPs than him, 8 more scoring titles.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan's career scoring average is 30.1. His highest season was 37.1. Kobe's 25.5 with his highest at 35.4. So MJ's almost 4.5 points more.
Can you
a game
believe there was a
career
season where Jordan averaged 37 points a
Dude,
game?
Dude, 37. Like, let's just talk about that for a second. Like, so in 06, I think it was, 05, 06 is when Kobe went and did that 62 and 81. It just went. I mean, he was on a horrendous team, and he basically said, I'm going to shoot 100 times a game and see what happens. Michael Jordan averaged 37.1, which is 2 points higher per game than Kobe did in that season.
Yeah.
37. Like, we haven't seen anything near that.
No. That's incredible. I mean, that doesn't even happen anymore.
No, like, you know, 37
like,
points.
Who's leading the league in scoring right now? I know LeBron's third. Anthony Davis was up there the other day. I don't even know.
Is it Steph?
I think it's Steph Curry. I think you're right.
Steph? I mean, Kevin Durant's like the scoring champion when he's healthy. Like, that's just kind of his role now. But Kevin Durant is never going to average 37 a game, I promise you.
No, no way.
Michael Jordan averaged 40 per game in 1993 in the NBA Finals. In a 6-game series, he averaged 40 points a game. All right, a couple more stats. And this is what I would say is the most telling, all right? 3 of them. Michael Jordan's rookie year, he averaged 28.5. It wasn't until Kobe's 5th year in the league that he averaged that.
Yeah.
28.5 as a rookie, all right? For his career, Michael Jordan shot 49.7% from the floor, and that including his 2 years in Washington, which shouldn't even count, when he shot like 45 and 42. So regardless of those 2 years when he was basically like a grandpa playing on a bad knee and everything, he averaged like 52% shooting. Kobe Bryant is 45%, never shot over 47.
Yeah.
So Kobe Bryant's best shooting percentage in a season is 2 points lower, 3 points lower than Michael Jordan's career.
Yeah.
Now, people might be like, well, that doesn't matter. When you shoot 27,000 shots in an NBA career, that matters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then Michael Jordan averaged a half assist more and a half a rebound and one steal more a game. Seth, it's not even close. It's not even close.
And he was a better defender.
And he's a better defender, and he's a better leader. It's not even close. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, like, to all these idiots on ESPN every day that are on there talking about it. Like, it's not close. Like, yeah. I'm not the old man that's stuck in the past. I'm understanding basketball, and it's not even close.
And I would even argue that he, and this is not to diminish anybody else on the Bulls, but I think Jordan won with those championships with less talent. I mean, Pippen is obviously a 50 greatest of all time, and we know the Worm and that third or that second round of championship, he's the best rebounder ever. And Horace Grant was no scrub, John Paxson, Steve Kerr, all those guys. But like, there, I mean, Kobe had literally unbelievable players. Like, he had Shaquille O'Neal in his prime when he was winning, and he wasn't even getting all those Finals MVPs. And then I don't want to hate on Kobe, but he whined enough that one year to get Gasol, and then they instantly were a contender.
Yeah, Kobe wasn't even the best player on his team for his three champions, for his first three.
I know.
Let me give you this comparison. I think people look at Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant almost like they're like racing cars, and they look at them and they say, if you would line them up in one race, like a game of one-on-one, would it be close? Or could Kobe ever beat him? And the answer to that question is yes. Like, in a game of one-on-one or this or that, like, yes. Like, they could be close, and Kobe could probably beat him at times. But over the volume of their career and their understanding of the game of basketball and what they've done, it's not even comparable. It's like, it really isn't. And I think, like, for me, even, like, this last couple weeks, I saw that video of Kobe at practice. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Where he's cussing him. And, like, a part of that's funny because you're like, oh, that's the Mamba. But a part of me, like, looks at that, and it's like, yeah, that's Kobe Bryant. Like, he says to Mitch Kupchak, the GM or whatever, I'm supposed to practice. These guys are supposed to make me better. Like, that's not why you practice. You practice to make the team better.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Kobe's ever understood that. Like, he really hasn't. And
no.
I think that perfectly illustrated who Kobe Bryant is.
Yeah, and he's not a team-first guy.
No, and so I really hope they put this stuff to bed, like all this nonsense about who's better, because I'm going to punch a hole in the TV if I see it again.
Yeah, they need something to write about. They need something to write about, and that was the big thing in the NBA going on, so they went for it. And I wanted to make another point.
LeBron, go ahead.
LeBron took that, and it's not to turn it on LeBron, but I think this is how you kind of measure greatness. And you saw what happened to that Cavs team when LeBron left the Cavs. Like, he took them to the NBA Finals and took them, you know, far in the Eastern Conference. You know, the other years they didn't make it. And then, like, Kobe was in that situation with the Lakers before Gasol, and they were horrible, you know, those years that he would score all those points. And then the same kind of situation right now, and they're not good. And the reason
they're
is
horrible.
Because, yeah, he doesn't view the game the same way. He's not... LeBron gets the big picture of that everybody on the team has to have a role and has to be a thing. He just wants to go out there and be an assassin and score.
The Lakers are the worst defensive team in the history of NBA basketball, quite possibly. Yeah. I mean, you watch them, it's like comical. And, I mean, Kobe's shooting like 38%. I mean, it's just, I think this is him. Like, this is who he is. Like, he's a scorer. And he's, other than Michael Jordan, probably the best shooting guard I've ever seen at scoring. Yeah. But as far as, like, just shooting your team, I mean, this team is just falling apart, and he went through a wall or a long drought before, kind of like this, where there was no other talent and he couldn't do anything with it. And LeBron couldn't win a championship on his own, like, I'll say that, like, but no one else can. But LeBron also was able to get the Cavs to like 50 and 60 wins in Eastern Conference Finals and NBA title, you know. I mean, it's just it's not close, Seth. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes that, like, and going back to Kobe, like, that Dwight Howard and those guys go, nobody wants to play with them. Then they go there and they don't want to stay there. It's crazy.
Yeah. No one wants to go there. And it's in L.A. Can you imagine if LeBron was in L.A., people that would try to go there?
I know.
I mean, they'd be taking pay cuts to come there. It'd be insane.
I know.
But, I mean, he's in Cleveland, and all we have are we have Lake Erie.
Yeah.
And Johnny Manziel. Dude, did Johnny Manziel look like they pulled him out of the stands? That's what Bill Simmons said. He looked like a high school kid they just pulled out of the stands.
Yeah, that was, you know what, man? That was embarrassing. You know, it just, it's just another thing, like, being a lifelong Cleveland fan. Like, you knew what, like we are all were hoping, like, this is going to be the, like, this is it. But, like, and then I was just, like, after, like, this, then once the second half started, I was like, oh, Cleveland fan, this is what we go through.
This is it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, Seth. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Well, hopefully the Cavs, they got another four games at home, and then they head to Miami for the big showdown with the Heat. So hopefully we can pick off three or four of these at home and keep rolling along.
Yeah, man. I think we need to crack the top four and then in the East, and then we just need to get into that top tier, that top one and two. And I think we can. I look at those teams that are there, like Raptors and Wizards. I think that they're good, but I don't think they have I think they're going to slip up. They're young, and they don't have staying power. So I think the Cavs will get into at least to be a two or three seed.
I hope so. I hope so. All right, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining me tonight. And, hey, we'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, see you, Fruit.
Later.